Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Food Friday, September 2nd already. I'm Ray Graff. Is there anybody who does not like pie? Show of hands, please. I don't see any. So going on the assumption that everybody loves pie, we welcome back Ellen Gray, who really loves pie. She is obsessed with pie. She has a great blog called No More Mr. Nice Pie. It's frequently hilarious. It's always fun. It's always great to have Ellen Gray on this program. So let's talk pie. Even if you hate pie, feel free to call us. 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. You can email voxpop@wamc.org. But again, 800-348-2551. Delicious pies on your calls at Ellen Gray after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Happy to welcome back the universally acclaimed supreme expert on pie, Ellen Gray, today. Ellen grew up in a household where dessert after every meal was the norm, not the exception. I grew up in a household like that. She's much thinner than I, but we'll just leave that alone. Pie was rightfully at the top of the food pyramid for Ellen Gray. She has a degree in theater, all kinds of experience in food, dairy, and restaurant industry. And after a decade at a small bakery in the Garden State, she now does really artistic things. She's got a wonderful website called No More Mr. Nice Pie, which is really fun. You got to check it out. If you have a question about crust, fillings, toppings, whatever, give us a call. 800-348-2551. It's Food Friday. It's pies today. Ellen Gray, welcome back.
Hey, Ray, how are you? Nice to be here.
I say welcome back, but you've never actually been in the studio.
This is my first time in the actual studio.
Ain't it sumptuous?
I just love what you've done with the place.
Yeah, it's really nice. The falling down foam on the walls.
Yeah, and very special.
Hey, that's public radio for you. Well, what's new with you?
What's new? I had a great summer. I crossed the border to Toronto. I baked a wedding cake in Canada. Yeah, I know.
You said you wanted to talk about cake, and I had the script written. It was about pie. I said, Ellen, what are you doing? So let's get the cake story underway here. What do we got going?
All right, we're going to tuck into that first. So most people don't know that I'm pretty fond of cake. You know, it's kind of a little bit of a side hustle. And I baked a wedding cake for my son and daughter-in-law, and it was in Canada. And so shopping in Canada at the grocery store is a little bit different than
Why?
Shopping in the States. The flour is different. Yeah, there is a little bit of French, but in terms of knowing where to go for what,
yeah,
it's a little bit of a challenge. And getting the specific ingredients that you need, it's not the same as just running down to your Stop and Shop. So it was a little bit of an event prior to the wedding.
That's pretty exciting. So that's a big responsibility.
Huge.
A family wedding, you're making a cake, and you sent a picture, and it's gorgeous.
Thank you.
Did you feel any stress, any performance anxiety there?
Yeah, a lot of stress. It required an A-team. You know, you've got to have, like, your wing people. So my husband was, you know, integral part of the operation.
Really?
Schlepping. And,
okay, that's about all I do is the schlepping in my kitchen.
Somebody's got to do it, and he did it effortlessly without complaining, so we thank him for that, because you can never have enough butter, and you can never have enough eggs or enough lemons or enough chocolate, so you keep sending someone out again and again. And shout out to my sister, Barbara, who is an excellent baker in her own right, and she allowed me to bake the cake in her 58th floor apartment kitchen, which was also fascinating because everything up there is a little bit smaller. The refrigeration, the ovens.
Kidding, though. Doesn't that affect the chemistry of the whole thing?
You know, it didn't. Or if it did, no one told me or had the heart to tell me. But I smuggled through customs, you know, a few offset spatulas. They deemed that okay.
They were okay with that.
To anyone's health or well-being. So that went well. And a few cake pans. And it was, I think, successful.
Well, that's great. Yeah. And had I known you were in Canada, mm-hmm, I would have had you bring back a couple of 12 packs of Labatt for our assistant news director,
sorry,
Jim Lavoulis,
yeah,
who likes
time.
The Canadian beer
All right.
very much. Anyway, the cake looked great. I'm glad it came out well.
Yeah.
But we digress. We're
yes.
talking about pies
yes, we do.
Today.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you obsessed with pies, Ellen Gray?
I'm obsessed with pies because they are the girl at the party who not only has a fabulous personality But she's also great looking. Yeah. And fun to be around. You know, Pi is seasonal. It's pretty mercurial. You know, changes. Every couple of weeks you have a new choice of flavors, of opportunity. And so it's not dull. Cake, as much as I love it, it's a little needy. It's a little jazz handy. Oh. You know, it's dramatic. People get very stressed about cake. Pie, I think, is kind of easygoing, wants you to succeed, wants you to be happy in the endeavor, in the tactile, hands-on.
But you can fail at pie, and I have seen it happen.
Sorry.
No names, please. You're very good at this, so it's very relaxing to you. Mm-hmm. But there are many people, my crust is soggy, the apples got in mm-hmm. the bottom, and this mm-hmm. and that. And that is why you're here today.
Okay, how can I help?
Bestow some advice. Right. Our number is 800-348-2551, and we are joined today by Ellen Gray. We talk pie on Food Friday. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. You brought little crescent-shaped pies and some round ones.
Hand pies.
Okay. You know, Zach the engineer said, hey, you got the Hot Pockets over there?
Yeah, I
he's hiding.
Had the opportunity to meet Zach. Hey, Zach. Yeah, I would hide, too.
They do. In fairness, this one does look like a Hot Pocket.
I've never seen a Hot Pocket with a lattice, but who am I to judge?
Well, you don't look. The key is not looking at the Hot Pockets.
I see.
You heat them, you eat them, and then you have a soda.
Totally separate.
Okay,
entity.
This is delicious.
Thank you.
This is peach?
This is peach. So we're in the end of the peach season, the end of stone fruit, which saddens me. You know, there's a lot of stirring out there in the world of that spicy pumpkin flavor is lurking.
I don't like it.
Okay.
I like pumpkin pie.
Yeah, okay.
But I don't want to smell candles with pumpkin spice.
Oh, there is that.
You in? Okay.
Yeah.
I should say that Ellen's husband is here, and he's giving me the thumbs up. Enough with the pumpkin spice, right?
Well,
I don't want to have a Sprite with pumpkin. I don't know if they make Sprite, but I don't want pumpkin spice in everything.
Yeah, who am I to judge? I am fond enough of pumpkin, but I don't feel that we need to kick that off in September. I think October is a good, you know, good time to maybe consider the pumpkin. But right now in the markets, you'll see they're nudging their way in.
Oh, yeah.
They're like elbowing the peaches out of the way. There are very few berries left. You know, it's a sad time.
That is why, and I little inside baseball for those of you listening, I had a date. Ellen was going to come up, and she got a third of the way up, and there was a hearing or something went down.
There was some shifting on the world's axis.
And we had, you know, it's the pie show or World War III.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Right.
So we delayed that, and I gave you a date, and you said, no, that's not going to do it. The summer fruits are going to be gone by
then.
Right. So
this is true.
We had to juggle things around,
Thank
and here you are.
That.
What else is in the box?
Okay, so we also, I mean, the nice thing about this time of year is that plums are inching their way into the spotlight. And, you know, plum is one of those fruits that people tend to, I don't know, it's not first pick on the pie team.
Is it too soft for a pie?
I think people are a little skittish when it comes to plums. They can be dry. They can be tart. They can be overly enthusiastic with their juiciness sometimes in a pie. So it's not as approachable as, say, an apple pie. Apple pie, pretty much, even if you're not, comfortable in the pie world, you can probably wrestle together an apple pie without too much stress. Plums, a little needier. You've got to adjust the sweetness. You've got to adjust the thickener. And you've got to make a choice. You know, there are lots of different kinds of plums this time of year.
And what would you use?
I'm fond of the Italian prune plum, which is classic in September for a particular recipe, actually, by Marion Burroughs. It was in the New York Times every single September from around 1983 to 1989 for a plum torte, and that was made with Italian prune plums.
I think we've talked about those.
Yeah, so I think there's a big audience for that. But for pie, Italian prune plums are terrific. They're a little sweet, a little tart. They're very agreeable in terms of thickening. They look fabulous in an open-faced pie, you know, sort of June Taylor dancer, kind of like that leg
kick.
Wow,
what a reference.
Okay,
good for you.
So if it's in an open face pie or a galette, you know, they're very attractive.
What's a galette again?
A galette is an open face pie.
Oh,
right? You're just rolling out the dough, you're putting your fruit on and just kind of wrapping it up.
You know, Zach, let's take a break because it's clear to me now that she knows a lot more about pie than I do. And I'm having some difficulties dealing with it. So just take a deep breath. Ellen's smarter than me. All right, we'll be back, and maybe we'll take a call, or maybe I'll leave. Dizzy Gillespie and, Lalo Schifrin. He wrote that one. And that's our bumper music at this time on Vox Pop. It's Food Friday. Ellen Gray is here. If you've not been to No More Mr. Nice Pie, you should go there. It's an enjoyable thing, even if you're not baking pies. Do you take the pictures at that site?
I do take the pictures.
They're beautiful.
Thank you, Ray.
They make me want to eat more pie.
Yeah, it's that Polaroid Instamatic camera.
Is that what you have?
Yeah,
you
like it's great.
All right. Okay. And, you know, the pie coup is great, but you didn't bring any.
I brought pie, but I left the pie coup in the
car. But you're very clever, though. So
yeah. I may come up with one before the show is over.
What happened? You went to acting school.
Yes.
And presumably you still have the chops. Why did you go the pie route?
A funny thing happened on the way to acting school. My first job in a commercial bakery was during college at the Ithaca's Home Dairy Bakery.
Beautiful.
And I did feed the entire drama department with the day old, so I'm just going to get that out of the way now. Yeah, some people might remember that. But I realized that a job in the food industry, you can always have a job in the food industry, particularly in the baking industry, right? So if you're a starving actor, you know, you may want to know how to bake.
Yeah.
And I did grow up baking, so it was kind of, it was a good backup.
Is there any discipline that kind of translates between the two fields?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think the food industry, especially the restaurant industry or the bakery industry, where you have front of house and back of house and you're dealing with the public, very similar to theater. It's a lot of ego. There's a lot of drama. Things are always changing, and it's live.
Yeah.
You know, restaurants, bakeries, that's live. It's not, you're not going to just tape that picture of that pie and sell it to somebody and have them slice it up. It's all happening.
Now, were you good as an improvisational actor?
I was. I was a good improvisational.
Do you improvise when you do what you do here?
I do.
Really?
And in the kitchen, you've got to be improvisational because things are not always, they don't go always according to plan.
I always thought baking was
strictly by the numbers. Yeah, it's good that way. But you know, you've got to allow yourself a little wiggle room when things go slightly awry. Things happen. People swear they told you the oven temperature is such and such, and you bake something off, and then you find out that they lied.
Ellen Gray is with us. It's a Food Friday. 800-348-2551. To the phones we will go in just one moment. A couple of emails here. This one is from Paul. Bored eating the same old pie is the subject heading. I love eating pie as much as the next guy, but I'm getting bored with apple, peach, soon to be pumpkin all over the place. What are some different things I can put in my pie to get the excitement back in eating pie? And that's from Paul.
Oh, Paul. I'm so sorry to hear
jaded.
That.
He's very jaded.
You know, Paul, what you might consider is pie as a vessel for savory items. You know, I mean, this is an excellent time of year. There's plenty of produce out there that you might not consider tucking into a pie shell, but, you know, you might want to shift over from sweet to savory and see where you are. Quite a few recipes on the blog if you're looking for some inspiration.
Savory stuff.
Yeah, and on the sweet side of things, you know, you could dip your toe into maybe plums, or perhaps you may want to take some end-of-season berries and mix them up and see what you come up with.
Fair enough. What's the craziest pie that you tried that didn't work out?
Someone once ordered a gender reveal pie. And I was limited in the color palette. Let's just say I was limited to the blues.
So you knew in advance?
So I knew in advance because I had the genetic testing little, you know, they gave me a little envelope with way too much DNA information. And so the pie needed to be in the blue.
Okay. So blueberry.
So blueberry, but it also needed to be custardy. So it was a blueberry buttermilk pie. That's what I remember.
Was it good?
Yeah, it was good, but you know, but the trick was to camouflage it so that the guests didn't see the blueberries until after they had sliced into the pie. So it was a custard pie with blueberries, and then it had a lattice top, very tightly woven lattice
like
top.
Like this hand pie. Beautiful.
Like the hand pie, yeah. Not to be confused with Lucas. Is it Lucas over there?
Luke. Well, we can call him. Actually, that's a nice name. It's Zach, but let's call him Lucas.
Okay, Lucas.
Hey, Lucas. She's making funny again,
so
Lucas.
So it was a tightly woven lattice to mask the blueberries. So that was probably the most unusual. And, you know, one of those is enough in a lifetime.
Well, I would have done a shortcut. You make an apple pie, you put some blue dye in there, right?
Well,
done.
Ray,
blue
baby.
Dye number seven.
And that's why you're such a great radio host.
Really? All right. Well, with... We'll see about that. This is from Ethan in Truckee, California. My first rhubarb pie made by my cousin in 1980. Haven't had one as good since. What's the suggestion for a great rhubarb pie?
Oh.
Don't put the leaves in.
I'm not. Well, you know, it depends who it's for.
Kill you.
All right. You know, you have to kind of consider your audience.
Okay.
Ethan? Is it Ethan?
It's Ethan in Truckee, California.
Thanks for calling in from all the way out west. I am very particular about rhubarb pie. It's not my favorite, but it's certainly in the top 10.
Yeah.
And I think rhubarb, you know, early season rhubarb is a little bit more tender than end of season rhubarb, which can be a little bit tough, maybe a little bit more tangy, a little more sour. If you want a pure rhubarb pie without any combinations of
fruits.
Strawberries, you know, raspberries, you've got to really consider your sweetener and your thickener. I like brown sugar in a rhubarb pie because there are kind of those caramelly tones to brown sugar that you get from the molasses. So I like brown sugar with rhubarbs. Certainly straight up rhubarb, I would go with brown sugar.
What does rhubarb taste like on its own? I mean, it's always masked by the strawberry anytime
I've
had
rhubarb
it.
Rhubarb is really bright and tangy, and it tastes like spring. And after a winter of snow-capped everything, you're really looking for those pink stalks of rhubarb.
All right, we're going to get to the phones now. People have been waiting quite a while we blabbed. Let's go to Rob in Poughkeepsie. Rob, you're on.
Hey, three words for you guys. Boston cream pie.
Boston cream pie.
That's back in the 60s.
Go ahead, Rob.
Back in the 60s, the ingredients, there was something about it that was everything. The Drake's cakes used to be. But Boston cream pie, you know, I could almost sacrifice my marriage for Boston cream pie.
Don't do
where
it.
Where do you get the best Boston cream pie?
Well, first
Hudson
of all.
Hudson Valley, where do you go to?
Is it a pie, though? I mean, it's got cake on it, right?
I hate to tell you, Rob, but Boston cream pie is a cake, although... You know, in the history of Boston cream pie, the thinking was that pie and cake, the words were used a little bit interchangeably back then.
Yeah.
And so cake batters were often baked in tins that, you know, for the Boston cream pie, it was sort of a pie tin.
Yeah.
And it was a sponge cake, and it was filled with pastry cream.
So
and I
good.
Think what really changed... the view of that, or elevated the view of that particular cake, was that it had a chocolate glaze.
Yeah.
And prior to that, chocolate was used predominantly in liquid form, you know, hot chocolates, chocolate drinks.
Yeah.
So to have a cake slash pie that was glazed in chocolate was unusual. And so that brought it to kind of superstar status. It became very popular. I think it was the Parker Hotel in Boston, Parker House Hotel. I think the trick is what you really should do, Rob, if you want to, you know, exceed your expectations, is you should learn how to make this. I mean, making a sponge cake is not terribly difficult. And making pastry cream, you know, I believe in you, Rob. I think you could do this. I don't know where to send you in the Hudson Valley. I think commercially made Boston cream pies might be a little bit different. That might be... what you're leaning towards. There are certain ingredients in commercially made Boston cream pies that are enhancers, shall we say. There are flavorings that are used, and you may have a nostalgic, you know, food memory that aligns with that. But I would check out a recipe.
Go ahead, Rob.
While I have the queen of pies on the phone.
Thank you, Rob.
What's the best pie to throw for a pie in the face? What is your top
great question.
Pie in the face?
Rob, I got to remember this one for the next time she's on. That's
yeah,
good.
All right.
That's good
Don't
work.
Listen to this, Ray.
But all right.
Rob, I think you have to go with something that's custardy, not necessarily a baked custard, but you want a stovetop custard.
Like
that's
a meringue?
Got some give. Well, you know, the question is, do you want a meringue in the face or do you want like a cream pie in the face? And I think the image, that Soupy Sales image of cream pie in the face, that was whipped cream. Maybe it was Cool Whip.
Yeah.
But so maybe that. Over meringue and something very, you know, like a vanilla cream pie or butterscotch cream pie or chocolate cream pie, you know, for chocolate lovers.
Excellent.
Okay.
Rob, this was valuable information. Hey, how long you been married, man?
Too long, but it's going good. Thanks.
All right, man. Thanks
would.
A lot.
You go,
all right.
Rob.
All right. Then you'll find a pie, you stay married. It's all good. Kathleen in Utica. Kathleen, you're on. Hello, Kathleen.
Hi, Kathleen. She left us. Something
are we
we
potting
said.
Her up there? Is Lucas? No? Okay. All right. Well, look, Kathleen, if you call back.
Circle on back, Kathleen.
We'll get you on there first. We go to Chris in Housatonic. Chris.
Yeah, I was wondering, here's a couple pies for you. Papaya pie, a coconut pie. Mm-hmm. An avocado pie.
Mm-hmm.
Avocado pie. Good Lord.
Well,
what fresh hell is this?
Papaya pie.
A passion fruit pie.
Yeah. Papaya pie I'm familiar with. And actually, I prefer papayas in a tart. I think a tart complements papaya as well, and it's not baked. It's really
that's got to be tough
enjoying.
To deal with, right?
Well, you know, you can fill your tart shell with a custardy base, and then you can put fresh papaya on top. I think that creates a purer flavor. You know, once you're baking it down, it sort of loses some of it.
Yeah.
Coconut pie, I'm all about.
Yeah.
All kinds of coconut pie, even coconut in a pie crust, or coconut in a crumbly topping. I have a dear friend who is sort of shying away from butter and fat at this point. And so for my dear pal Mary, a coconut crumbly topping or pie shell would be great because it doesn't necessarily require fat.
Have you ever heard of a Parisian cake?
A what?
I beg your pardon?
Parisian cake.
Parisian. Could you use it in a sentence, Chris?
That's a mixture of lime and lemon.
Yeah.
Parade.
Yeah, that's
okay, that
delicious.
Sounds awesome.
All about that. I'm not, I got to be honest, I'm not a fan of the avocado pie.
Is there such a thing?
There is such a thing. And, you know, there are certain recipes that have been adapted to utilize avocado because it has some, you know, beneficial.
In what way?
Well, you know, for certain people who are following certain types of food lore. But personally, you know, I prefer avocado as, you know, guacamole.
All right. Hey, Chris, thanks a lot for that one. 800-348-2551 is the number. 1-800-348-2551. Don't worry, Lucas, over there in Master Control. It's going to be all right. This email came in from Mame. Shout out to the Pie Empress, Ellen, from Mame and Friends and Admirers in Rensselaerville.
Hi, Mame and Company. Oh,
do you know
so
Mame?
Sweet, I do. I'm delighted.
Is
that
she your aunt by any chance?
She's not my auntie Mame, but she is a wonderful, wonderful friend.
All right, fair enough. Well, that's good. And you actually ran into a friend of this show today.
Let's just take a moment here and say, hey, Amy Halloran, thanks so much. Flower Ambassador.
She won some
award-winning bread-winning pie, bread baker. So
what did
also,
she make?
I'm going to tell
avocado
you exactly.
Thing, a pie
I'm going to tell you what she made because it was award-winning, and I think she should wear a banner that says that she won the best bread for her pampushki buns.
At the Scaticoke Fair.
At the Scaticoke Fair, and that's not everyone can say that, so.
Pampushki buns.
Yeah, right, that's great. And also, you know, while we're on the radio, let's say, hey, Deanna Fox.
Hey, Deanna Fox.
Yeah. Missing her. I would like to have seen her today. Next time.
Next time. And she's a regular on this program, as are you. So I'm sure the twain will meet at some point.
Okay.
Dan in Olive Ridge. Dan, you're on.
Good afternoon, Ray. Love your show.
Thank you.
Ellen, I've been blessed with a bride that has shared with me the zen of pie baking. And I just have a funny colloquialism that I read some years ago from the early 1800s that deals with pie.
Okay.
And in Europe, a Yankee is an American. In America, a Yankee is a Northerner. In the North, a Yankee is from New England. In New England, a Yankee is from Vermont. And in Vermont, a Yankee is somebody who eats pie for breakfast.
There.
That's right.
Thank you, Dan.
All about that.
This was an odd book, and that's the only one that stuck in my mind, and I thought this was the place to share it.
Love it, man. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
800-348-2551. Ellen Gray is our guest. It's Pies Today on Food Friday, and the email address is voxpop@wamc.org. Got to say, this peach hot pocket is out of control. It
right,
is so good.
We're done. Check, please.
What's that?
I gave you a couple of pie coups if you're feeling hungry for a pie coup.
Oh, look at that. Yeah. Blanket right. of dough okay. wrapped around a peach is the one blanket you need. If you can do it like Howard Cosell, then you've
I'll
achieved
come back.
A real...
Right. Maybe next time.
Okay. Well, you're an actor. Yeah, you can right. do this right. stuff.
I'll dig deep.
All right, let's go to... we got a little time before the next break. We go to Schenectady. Steve, you're on.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
You bet.
Great show. Hey, I wanted to ask a question about... I recently heard that there's a grape festival in Naples, New
yes.
York, where they make a grape pie.
Oh, that
do.
I've never had.
What's up with that?
Okay,
never heard
Steve,
of it.
I'm so glad you called. Several years ago, M. Schweppe 15 and I took a drive to the Finger Lakes, and we went to the grape festival in Naples. And it is... really quite a unique assemblage of bakers and grape lovers. Grape pie is really fabulous, and there are very passionate grape pie bakers. You know, they're no nonsense. You don't mess with these ladies because they've been baking these pies for decades, using recipes that have been handed down for many generations. Serious business.
I have never had one of these, and I want one now.
They're excellent.
So what kind of grapes? What kind of grapes do they use?
Okay, if you go to the website and you go to my recipe index, you will see that the early, those very sour grapes with the purple skin, the deep claret purple skin, you pinch them, and the skin comes off, and then you have the pulp of the grape.
Yep.
And inside that pulp is a nasty little pit.
Yeah, you got to get rid of that.
So you cook them down and you strain them. And then you add the purple skins back into this grape pulp, sans pits.
Yeah.
And you get this gorgeous color, just magnificent, deep, deep purple color.
Do you have to grind up the skins?
No, I didn't grind them up.
Just threw them in?
I just mixed them up.
Okay.
And it makes a sliceable pie. And you'll also see on the blog, I did talk about going to the Naples Festival. So it's early fall, as I recall. I think early October.
All right, she's looking at her husband, meaning that's where they're going in October.
Yeah, that's where we're going. So that would be worth your while, Steve. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, appreciate the call. So this grape pie thing really intrigues me. I mean, grapes, I've had grape jelly,
yes,
believe it or
have.
Not.
Concord grapes, sure.
Right. And the thing is... To me, it would seem that if you make a pie out of it, it will fall apart. Do you have to refrigerate it after you bake it?
You're going to bake it. You're going to thicken it a little bit. You can add a little thickener, but there's a lot of pectin in those skins. You know, just like a blueberry has that kind of thicker outer skin, there's pectin in that, and that's going to help to thicken it. I also found that you can make a peanut butter centric filling for a pie and then top it with a grape. A cooked grape filling. It's delicious together. Yeah.
Jot that down.
Next time, Ellen Gray's. All right, maybe.
The peach thing is great.
Oh, thank you so much.
Loving me some Hot Pockets. Okay. Hey, Lucas, let's take it to a break. 800-348-2551 is the number. Ellen Gray is here. We talk pie. We'll get back to the phones and the email bag in a moment.
Support comes from Chesterwood, the historic home, studio, and gardens of Daniel Chester French. Featuring the contemporary sculpture of Jonathan Prince throughout the landscape, chesterwood.org. from the barn at Egremont Village Inn. Presenting the BTUs tonight, tomorrow night, the Rejuvenators. Dinner service begins at 5 p.m. More information at theegremontbarn.com. From Pioneer Valley Food Tours, Northampton, Massachusetts, offering walking and bicycle food tours, highlighting local food producers and their seasonal specialties, pioneervalleyfoodtours.com. And from My Forest Foods, makers of My Bacon, meatless bacon made from mushroom mycelium. For breakfast, sandwiches, salads, myforestfoods.com for locations in Albany and Great Barrington.
Vox Pop on WAMC. It's a Food Friday. 800-348-2551 is the number. Ellen Gray is here, a pie expert par excellence. No More Mr. Nice Pie is the website. Let's grab a couple of emails. Kathleen and Utica called back. Hang in there, Kathleen. You will be first after the break here that we do a couple of emails. Well, looky here. Amy Halloran writes in, could I bake an apple inside a pie skin just like you do the peach? Or what else can you tell me about making an apple hand pie?
Yeah, Amy, of course you can. Hi, Amy, breadwinner. The apple can be wrapped in, a pretty classic pie dough, if you like, or pastry dough. And you don't even have to peel it, but you can certainly stuff it with maybe brown sugar and some raisins or currants and some walnuts or hazelnuts. It'd be delicious.
Cool.
A little bit of butter.
Now, getting back to this beautiful peach hand pie.
Thank you, Ray.
For calling it the hand pie. I know you wince every time I say Hot Pocket. Hot Pocket. It's a little more difficult to deal with peach. And I wonder, is apricot the same way?
Apricots are great, but they're just tricky to, they're not as readily accessible. You know, and the apricots that we tend to get have traveled a long way.
Yeah.
You know, the bulk of them are coming from California. Occasionally they're coming from Michigan. But the supermarket apricots are a little bit fuzzy, a little bit lackluster. It's really lovely if you have apricots and you have peaches accessible to pair them together. That's wonderful. And plum and apricot is great, too, because there are certain plums that sort of have undernotes of apricot, fluots, and apriums. Those are kind of all in the same family. And when you bake them together, they kind of bring out the best in each other.
After all this harvest time is done, that's why you had to get in here before.
I had to.
I know. And you know what? I'm not going to mess around. You say so, I'm doing it. What happens in winter? What do you make?
Oh, citrus.
Yeah?
Oh, I love citrus. Meyer lemons, limes, regular lemons, and nut pies. You know, these lovely farm kitchens of days gone by, you sort of had to use what was available either from the farm or in the pantry. And so cupboard pies, custard pies and the like were kind of a big part of winter
fun.
Baking. Yeah, it is.
Do you ever have Meyer lemonade?
Yeah, but I prefer Meyer lemon pie.
Meyer lemonade and bourbon. Try it.
Separate show. Yeah. Okay.
Well, somehow it always seems to.
Yeah, we do gravitate back to.
Let's go to Kathleen in Utica. Kathleen, you're on.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call a second time around. I was wondering about a mango pie, and can you make them with fresh mangoes, or should I look for a canned product? I heard that they were a wonderful pie.
You know, they are.
Looking for your advice.
Mangoes are great. My daughter-in-law actually had a hankering for a mango pie, and we put one together. I think it was for her birthday this year. And I used fresh mango, and I also used, you can buy fresh frozen mango puree, which really has great flavor to it, and a little bit of lime. And you can either treat that like you would a key lime pie and include, say, sweetened condensed milk. If you choose not to do that, you could use egg yolks and use the fresh mango puree and some additional fresh mango and do kind of a stovetop application and cook it up till it's nice and thick and serve it with additional fresh mango. It's
and delicious. That would have to be refrigerated too, right?
That would be refrigerated, right?
Kathleen, correct. You want to follow up?
No, just thank you. That's great information.
Sure.
Thanks a lot for calling. Have a great weekend. So now that's two words that make Ellen Gray wince. One was Hot Pocket. She did it again. The other was canned anything. And you visibly winced when she said canned mango.
I didn't realize that. I was still, that was probably just reverberating from the Hot Pocket comment. But I don't necessarily frown upon canned items. There are certain, I'm a huge fan of a canned pumpkin by the name, it's called One Pie Pumpkin. Yeah. It used to be, I think it was out of Maine originally.
Ah.
And now I think it's out of Illinois. It's a great canned squash or canned pumpkin. So canned squashes and certain canned fruits have their place in cooking because they're predictable. You know, you don't have to worry, did it ripen? Is it sweet enough? It's pretty much always the same.
Quality control may not be the highest quality compared to fresh, but you know what you're getting,
you
and it's going to be consistent.
And what if there's, you know, a horrible snowstorm and you can't get out to the market, Ray? What are you going to do?
This is what I say about spam. Yeah. I mean, you know what you're getting,
right? Separate.
Should we do another show on spam?
Give me a moment to think
Ellen
about
Gray
it.
Is with us. Fran in Gallatin writes, my favorite breakfast is cold pumpkin pie. Oh, another color shock happens when you cook quince. It turns from a nasty green to a beautiful purple.
I love quince.
What's quince?
Oh,
it was a show with Jack Klugman, right?
Quince is kind of in the apple and rose family.
Yeah.
If you were to eat raw quince, if you were to buy quince and peel it and eat it raw, it would probably make a Hot Pocket look pretty tasty.
She said Hot Pocket.
It's painfully bitter. You cannot eat quince raw. You need to cook it down a little bit. You need to poach it or simmer it with some sweetener. And it does turn this magnificent blush pink. And teamed with apples, it's a magnificent pie filling. It's also, you know, will stand alone or with pears. I love quince, but it's kind of a short season.
I've never heard of such
a thing. It's a little fussy. You know, you have to really dedicate some time to it.
Interestingly, when you said Hot Pocket, a duck came down and gave you $50.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah, okay, thank you.
Saying the secret word. Wendy in Loudonville. Wendy, you're on.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hi, Wendy.
Hi.
Hi.
My question is, I've been eating gluten-free, and I wonder if you had any tips to make a good gluten-free crust, because I have been struggling.
What do you
Wendy,
got?
Wendy, I've been waiting for this call.
Because you prepped for this?
Well, I just thought it wouldn't, you know, it wouldn't be a food Friday.
A lot of people have trouble with gluten.
I appreciate that, and that must, I consider myself very, very
but
lucky.
But you have done some research.
I have done some research. And so, Wendy, there are some pre-made gluten-free pie shells that are available, you know, frozen pie shells, if you don't want to go to the fiddle of preparing one from scratch. You can certainly use alternative flours, almond flour, you know, they're coconut flour. You can do a blend or you can do independently. But I think for a really quick, tasty gluten-free pie crust, if you have a favorite gluten-free cookie and you treat it almost like you would a graham cracker crust, if you do a ground gluten-free cookie, if you can tolerate nuts, you can add some nuts to that. You can sweeten it with raw sugar. You can sweeten it with brown sugar. And I think you get a really tasty, there's something very rich about it. It takes maybe 8 minutes in the oven to bake, and then you can fill it as you choose.
Oh, I'll ask you, Ellen, and I'll also ask Wendy. Almond flour is difficult. My daughter's tried baking with almond flour, and it doesn't play quite the same as flour.
They have a different set of rules, but I think if you you have to practice and your expectations, you know, you have to start somewhere and then you have to adjust as you go. So you can try a recipe and see how you like it. They're a little bit trickier to manipulate from a work surface to a pie plate. I will say that. You know, pie is a little bit sturdier to maneuver than a gluten-free one because there's nothing really holding it together.
Wendy, what's your go-to at the moment?
I use, with all my baking, is the King Arthur baking mix.
Yeah.
Seems to be the easiest for me.
Right, the one-to-one.
When I've tried to make the crust before, it's very crumbly. Like, it won't hold together. It gets, you know, just falls apart.
Right. Well, one thought, Wendy, might be, and the King Arthur, it's an excellent, I think their one-to-one gluten-free flour is tremendous. It works really well. What you might want to do is try and roll out the crust on either a piece of parchment paper or even plastic wrap, and then you can maneuver it into the pie plate. You can turn the pie plate upside down over the pie crust and then use either that parchment or your plastic wrap to lift it and then reverse it. And then the pie crust should land in the pie plate, remove the parchment or the plastic, and then pat it in place.
All right. Hey, Wendy, thanks a lot for the call. Ellen Gray joins us today. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. Pies today. Let's go to Catskill. And Carmella, you're on.
Oh, hi. I have a question about whipped cream and meringue. Okay. Last week, your guest gave a hint about using powdered sugar in her heavy cream in order to make a whipped topping.
Yes.
And I'm wondering if that would work for meringue as well. Would you know?
Well, I have used powdered sugar, but I would say in whipped cream, definitely, because there's a little bit of cornstarch in powdered sugar, and so that might thicken the whipped cream, give it a little bit, you know, more stability. As far as meringue goes, if you're finding that a simple meringue, you know, which is just egg whites beaten with granulated sugar, if it's not really holding its shape, you might want to consider a cooked a sugar syrup, which is where you cook granulated sugar and water until it gets to about 240 degrees, and then you're going to pour that over your beaten egg whites, and that becomes almost like a marshmallow consistency.
Uh-huh.
So you might want to consider that. But powdered sugar in meringue, Rose Levy Barenbaum uses parts granulated sugar and powdered sugar when she makes piped meringues, like meringue mushrooms or meringue decorations for cakes and so forth. She folds in the powdered sugar at the end. And you might want to try that. Look at her her cake Bible or her pie Bible. Might be able to give you a hand on that, Carmella.
Thank you very much for the call, Carmella. Now we're going to go to Saratoga. Alyssa, you're on.
Hi. I do have a question, but first I wanted to say that my grandma is many generations New Englander, and not only did she have pie for breakfast, but she would have the pie after she ate her breakfast, and they called that topping off. So I always thought that was interesting.
I love that.
Yeah, that's great.
So my question was, there was a TV show maybe like 10 years ago called Psych. And it was this satirical show about being a psychic detective, and they had a spoof episode that played off of Twin Peaks, and they traveled to this weird town where there was a cinnamon festival.
Yes.
And everybody was very hyped up over a cinnamon pie.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the internet went crazy trying to figure out what cinnamon pie was. And so I was curious what you thought that might be.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that because I've seen clips from that. And I think it was basically a custard pie, you know, just a very classic vanilla custard pie that was heavily flavored with cinnamon.
Mm.
You could steep, if you wanted to make a purely, you know, that essence of cinnamon in a pie, I would suggest maybe you want to steep the cream, you know, whatever dairy that you're using, with good quality cinnamon sticks, you know, not just off the grocer's shelf. Get some cinnamon sticks, steep the dairy, and really let it sit in there and infuse with that flavor, and I think you'd get a great, great result.
Have you ever tried that?
Okay.
No, but I think I will.
Thanks, Alyssa. Thank you for the suggestion and the call, and let's go down to NYC. Joseph, you're on.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes. Hi. One of the most important things in pie for me is the crust, the flakiness of the crust.
Yeah.
If that's done not there, then I don't even like the pie. However, I have two quick questions to ask. One is that what is the difference, and is it important to lightly brush the crust with milk before you put it in the oven. And the second is after you get the flaky crust, how to keep it flaky, especially if it's overnight. You know, you put it in the refrigerator, right. Doesn't that dampness?
Correct.
So if you could help me with that.
Yeah, it's a common problem, Joseph, and I would say you're right. Refrigerating the pie overnight, it does, you know, hydrate it, and it does kind of result in a soggy crust. So if your kitchen is cool enough, now I'm not talking about a cream pie or a custard pie, anything with eggs in it really needs to be refrigerated.
No, right, fruit pie.
But a fruit pie, if you want to sort of maintain the integrity of the crust, if you can leave it at room temperature, farm wives used to wrap pies in, you know, a clean kitchen towel and leave it on the counter overnight. You could put it in a cake dome if you have one with a cover. You could wrap it with aluminum foil. You want to keep it covered because you just want to protect it from things in the air. But room temperature is really the best way to keep it if it is not a perishable, you know, heat sensitive pie. And again,
you only
want to leave it out for 2 or 3 days. You know, you certainly don't want to leave it out in a 90-degree kitchen.
I mean, any pie worth its stuff is going to be gone within 3 days.
Or breakfast the next morning. Yeah. And as far as the egg wash, you mentioned brushing it with milk. You want to brush
it with milk or with whatever.
Yeah, I think milk gives a little bit more of a dull finish, whereas if you brush it with egg wash, either egg yolk or a whole egg mixed with a little bit of water or mixed with a little cream, it sort of brings up the shine, and it will also encourage browning, like that nice golden brown.
All right, Joseph, thanks very much. We have time for one more, I think, maybe two, depending on how brief the next call is. Let's go to Cambridge and Peter.
Hey, Ray. How are you?
Hey.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead. We got about a minute here.
Okay, yeah. I just wanted to give my two cents about the Grape Festival in Naples. I was there back when I was in college, and it's a great time. And they make pies out of a lot of different grapes, and my favorite was the Chardonnay pie.
What? Chardonnay pie?
That got your attention.
Yeah, well, not much of a wine drinker, but do tell.
Was, yeah, it was delicious. And it was made out of Chardonnay grapes. I don't know how it was made, but it was delicious. And if you do get there, you should definitely have the grape pizza, too, because they have everything made with grapes at the Grape Festival.
Grape pizza? I think you lost me on that one, dude. Got to be honest.
It's delicious.
Really?
It's like a focaccia crust, as I recall. It's slightly different.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
With a little bit of rosemary
or something. It's delicious.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well,
okay.
Thanks
next
a lot
time.
For the call. Well, Ellen Gray, this was tremendous. I'm sure you're feeling underwhelmed since it was a 4-hour drive to get here. But for me, it was fantastic. And you brought pies.
I did.
The crust on this thing, on this peach hand pie.
Thank you. Look at you.
It's very, very good.
Look,
I mean, it's flaky and beautiful. And I think that's a lifetime of skill. You couldn't have been that good right away.
It comes with practice, you know? I think it comes with practice.
Husband's not answering, so I think that tells us a lot. One more time, how do we find your website? And I assume that is a jumping-off point for all the things that you do.
All the things. So you can find nomoremrnicepie.com, and you can also find me on Facebook, and you can find me on Instagram, and you can look around. I'm often a contributor to a number of food-centric magazines, so look for me there
as well.
Should
I put that in the script?
You might. You might want to. I've got some good stuff coming up for the new season, for the holiday season, and so keep your eyes out.
Well, obviously you've been offended by the whole Hot Pocket thing, and will you ever come back?
I am going to come back.
God bless you, Ellen Gray.
I think this poor guy might have lost
Lucas?
His job.
No, Lucas is fine over
he's
there.
Okay.
Master
All right.
Control.
All right, thanks, Lucas.
Yeah, that's you. Oh, it's Zach. That's right.
Zach.
The support comes from Farm to Tables, presenting the Epicurean in Rhinecliff and the Locavore Market in Red Hook Neighborhood Grocery Markets, featuring only local products on Instagram. Southern Berkshire Chamber of Commerce, presenting Berkshire Video on Demand, featuring its first series, Chefs of the Berkshires. SouthernBerkshireChamber.com, funded by the Massachusetts Office of Travel and Tourism. And Honest Weight Food Co-op in Albany, local organic and sustainable groceries. We're all open to the public daily from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. Home delivery available online at honestweight.coop. Once again, thanks to Ellen Gray for coming and talking to us and bringing the pies. Thanks to Zach, don't call me Lucas Malloy, our engineer. Barb King screened the calls. I'm Ray Graff. Have a splendid weekend. We'll see you next week.